Advisors, hit pause on the multitasking and lean all the way in because my guest today once lit rock concerts for Rush and Peter Gabriel, turned the backstage wizardry into five successful business exits, and now helps brands like Nike, Disney blow the roof off of customer loyalty with his kinetic customer formula. I'm talking about Jason Friedman. Serial entrepreneur, EY Entrepreneur of the Year, winner of the brains behind the CX formula. Jason believes the difference between a forgettable company and a fan for life movement is one of the things designing experiences that flow is not force. Now, Jason, welcome to the Advisor with Stacey Chalemi. Grab the mic and say hello because our listeners want to hear you and let them have a snapshot of who you are and why you're so obsessed with turning businesses into a standing ovation experience.
Love that. Thanks for having me, Stacey. Super excited to be here today. And my background, I started out in theater. I've been in theater my entire life from when I was like 8, 9 years old. And before the show, we were talking about how we kind of both are from the same area. And so I used to go to summer camp back in New Jersey. And one of my friends was auditioning for the camp show. And he was freaked out about it. And so he invited me to come along for like his emotional support human. And so I was sitting in the back of the theater while he was singing Happy Birthday, auditioning for the show. And I saw this guy who was like banging on some sets and like he was building stuff and creating stuff and moving the light board and playing with the sound dials. And I was just like mesmerized by what he was doing. And I don't know why, but I just got really hooked on it. And so my friend Billy got into the show and I joined the stage crew. And so from 8 years old on, I was always behind the scenes, building sets, doing lights, doing the audio, the AB kid in high school, the whole nine yards. And when I got into college, I went there to be a lighting designer by trade, actually. I knew that I wanted to go out on the road with, rock bands and do lighting and do all that. So my dream was to go out with Rush, and it was the biggest goal I had ever set. And I got out on the road with Rush as one of the lighting guys. And then I was with Fleetwood Mac. I was with Peter Gabriel for a bit. And then I did some more legit theater. I did Les Mis, I did Fiddler on the Roof, Jesus Christ Superstar, Man of La Mancha. And there was a through line to everything I always did. And it was always that in theater, you focus on the audience. Everything's designed for that audience. In business, we actually don't focus on the audience so much. We don't really think about it. We think about ourselves as the business owners and how hard it is and how we're going to put it together and what we want to teach and what we want to do. But when we really step into the shoes of the audience, it's a whole different game. And so I remember sitting there in the first big production, and the director was there, and the stage manager, and all the designers, the whole team. And as the director went through the script, we were going through the whole thing. He was like, I want them to gasp here. I want them to do this here. I want them. He was literally choreographing their reactions from the audience. And then we got to opening night, and I was sitting backstage running the light board. And I was watching on the camera and listening to the audience, and they literally did what he wanted them to do when he wanted them to do it. And I was like, holy crap, you can actually choreograph transformation. Like, you could decide what you want your clients to feel, you could decide how you want them to take actions, and then you can choreograph situations, scenarios, things that allow them to have those reactions and to get those results. And so I started thinking back in the day, like, how do you bring that into business? How do you take that theatrical storytelling and engagement and whatever and captivating an audience and bring that to your business? And the last 30 years of my life have been me helping big brands, small brands, and everywhere in between literally do that with their customers. Take them on a journey that gets them results, makes them really happy, and then has them go out and bring more customers in because they just loved what happened.
Oh, that's amazing. Now you've gone from hauling light rigs onto tour buses to guiding billion-dollar brands. What's the single biggest lesson about rock and roll stage that has taught you about creating business momentum?
I'm going to go back to what I just said. I really think it's about the understanding of that audience. Like, everything is about the audience. Like, where they stand on stage, it's so the audience can see them better. The costumes they wear, it's so the audience can experience that. The sets, the lights, the way they play the music, like everything is done by design, and everything is rehearsed. Like they don't just go up there and just do something. They practice it over and over again, and they make sure it like really resonates. And I think in business, all too often we don't do that. We don't think so much about that. And so, like that's been like really the biggest lesson, of all of them.
I think that's a good point when you say that they practice. Not a lot of people always practice. You know, they just go out and they wing it. But it's so important to practice until you've gotten it to a T, until it's, you know, until it's embedded in your core. Because the more you know something and how it's supposed to be done or how it's supposed to be sang, the more confident you look, the better you look, the more professional you look. So it really does, you know, you know, I think the being able to just practice and have everything to a T, know exactly how everything should be done and have it planned is a really important aspect too.
100%. And you know, in theater, like we rehearse it all, but like stuff still goes wrong. And so there's still room within all of this to handle things as they come up, but really going through that process of refining things. And the other thing that I think is really important is in theater, we practice the scene changes. Like we go from one scene to another. And in business, we lose customers in the transitions. We don't practice the transitions so much. So whether it's someone that like signs up for something on your website and then they get an email and then like that transition is not often thought through. And so in our businesses, like when we start to look at that entire journey, I call this journey-based thinking, right? When we start to really look at it through the lens of the customer and kind of step into their shoes and walk the path that they walk, we start to find all of these, what I call them friction points, right? We find these obstacles that we've inadvertently or sometimes like intentionally even put in their place that we don't realize. We put it in a place because we thought it would help them and it's actually stopping them from making progress. And so one of the big things that we do is we walk through client journeys with people. We teach them how to look at their client journey from the perspective of the customer and really understand it. Because in theater, like when we're, you know, creating a show or a rock concert or whatever, we go into the audience and we look at what's happening from the audience's point of view. And most business owners don't step into the customer side and take a look at their business through that lens. It's a really important thing to do.
That is an important thing to do. Now, you say growth should feel like surfing, not sprinting. How can entrepreneurs step off the treadmill and get into a sustainable flow?
Yeah, so I've grown multiple companies, as you mentioned before. And in the beginning, I grew them all through what I would call force. Like I picked a big, hairy, audacious goal and a really short time frame, and we just fought for it. We just went for it as hard as we could. And it worked. It worked in almost every time. But at what cost? Right? It kind of beat ourselves up and so on and so forth. And I've found that there's a better way, and I call that the flow methodology, right? And so it's, you know, we all talk about like being in flow state or whatever. It's not quite that. It's really about understanding like force is about like these like very tight time frames and like making things happen. And when you're in flow, it's better communication. It's better visioning. So you set a bigger, better vision. You clearly communicate that. You start enrolling people in the vision, and you've created more of a movement than a machine. And so it's a very different energy. And so, you know, people in the woo side of things really understand this. People that are not on the woo thing, they start to think, well, like, how does that really work? And you know, whether you think of it as like manifesting, where you're like, you know, you're calling things in, or you think of it as good marketing, where you're putting great messaging out and people are attracted to that messaging, it doesn't matter. It works. And so what we help people do today in our businesses is really create what we call magnetic messaging. And so when we help them create magnetic messaging, instead of like this force, it actually flows. It pulls people into what's going on, it invites them into the ecosystem that you're building so that they want to participate more. And we've seen growth happen even faster than through the force methodology.
Now, tell us about the moment you surrendered and let help in and watched both your healing and your revenue skyrocket.
Yeah. So about 18 months ago, I was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. And I'm gonna shortcut it now and just tell you, because I know we have limited time, that I'm 100% cancer free. took me about 6 months to get there, which is a really short period of time. But what inspired that was one of the healers I was working with. So I was about 3 months into my journey, and I had not had a scan yet, like a progress scan to see the how things were going. Was I getting better? Was it getting worse? Like, what was happening? And I was in a very good place. Like, mindset is everything. Belief drives everything, right? And so I believed I was going to be 100% cancer free. I built a team just like I would in a business. I had the best of the best on there, and I was going after my vision. But I had a scan in 2 weeks and I started freaking out because, like, the itty bitty shitty committee creeps in, right? And they're like, what if it's not working? What if it got worse? Like, all the negative shit comes in and it stops you from taking action or even feeling okay, right? So those beliefs start to, like, so I walked into my session. Jamie was my healer and she's like, dude, what's wrong? Like, immediately sensed that there was a shift in the energy. She's like, this is not Jason. Like, what's going on? And I looked at her and I was like, look, I'm worried. Like, I've got a scan in 2 weeks. And she looked me straight in the eye and she asked me, what makes you think your cancer's not already gone? And I was like, huh. Like, the thought that it could be gone already never crossed my mind. Like, I was in negative land and she was in, like, Positiveville, and they're very different places. There's a real, like, it could have been gone. Like, that was a possibility. It wasn't even like a far-fetched possibility. It could absolutely have happened. But it shocked me. Like, it floored me. And then she asked me a second question. She said, what makes you believe it needs to take a long time to heal? And I was like, I don't know. I really had no idea why I had this belief that it was going to be this long, drawn-out, arduous process. And I've not been the most spiritual person on the planet, like, full admission. Like, I'm a whole lot more woo-woo than I was like a year and a half ago, right? And I'm open. And so she like said those words to me, and I felt something leave my body. I had the most spiritual experience of my life. And then 2 weeks later, I went, and the tumor that I had was 50% smaller, and the lymph nodes that were infected or affected were clear. And I was like, holy shit. And I was like, I fucking got this. I got this. I was like in that place. And so that shifted things. Like, it's stuff that I coach as a coach, as a business guy, as a leader. I've said to people all the time, it doesn't have to take, I've said all those things, but I didn't embody them. And in that moment, like, it really became real. So, like, I started realizing that there were a bunch of different lessons that I needed to learn. And, like, the biggest shift for me was receivership. Like, I did suck at, like, receiving help or receiving gifts or just receiving. I'm a giver. I've always been a giver. I've always done for others and I've never really taken a whole lot. And what I started to learn through brute force of my friends and loved ones was that it's okay to receive. And in fact, it's a gift to give other people. When you receive, you're allowing them the gift of giving. And so, like, I had all these people, like, love bombing me and telling me how I changed their lives and how I've stood up for them and all these other things. And it was just like they were showering me with all this gratitude, and I couldn't take it. Like, it was so overwhelming for me, Stacey. Like, I was just like, oh my God. And they were like, you just got to take it. You got to take it. You got to take it. And I started to, like, understand and started to receive. And then I was more open to even asking for help and allowing other people in ways that in my 50 years of life, I had never let them in. And so, like, I started sharing. So one of my coaches, a guy that runs a mastermind program that I'm in, Jeff Walker, I don't know if you know Jeff, but he was like, he came out to visit and he was hanging out with a few other of my friends. And he was like, dude, he's like, you got to share this with our mastermind if you're comfortable with it. I was like, okay. So I was in the mastermind meeting. I started sharing some of these lessons. And, like, you have like 50 entrepreneurs, like super, like, successful, smart, capable entrepreneurs that are copiously taking notes down about receivership because we all sucked at it. Like, it just wasn't something we were good at. And, like, the feedback that I've gotten from people since I've just shared that, like, created, like, an awareness of that in them has, like, blown their minds as well. And I think, I mean, maybe you, I don't know, but, like, for me, I don't, like, nobody ever really taught me how to receive. Like they always taught you how to give. But and receiving was almost like a weakness or wrong, or you're a taker or something. And it's literally not that. It's just not that. And it's like one of those societal things. Like there's so many things, like, you only see like, wealthy people are evil, right? So people think that like making money is a bad thing. No, that's not true. Or, if you make money quickly, that's a bad thing. And so like I've been deep into all these like limiting beliefs that we have been given and that have been kind of forced upon us. And like I help people in our programs, in our coaching, like start to release some of these things because they're really stopping people from these are big friction points that are in our brains, right? So, but like all this really exploded through that journey and kind of learning and realizing, that, receivership is it's an important thing.
It is an important thing. I think society, the way we grew up, that it was it's stigmatized to be a weakness because that's the way the generations before us, were taught. And it kind of like
Totally.
just travel from generation to generation. It was all about giving to others. But you know what? And most people, you hear it all the time. I hear it from so many people that they're suffering from something or they need help and they need to reach out. They're going through something in life, but they refuse to ask because they don't, one, they don't want to be a burden. Two, they feel embarrassed. Three, they feel it's a weakness. And it stops them from, because there's so many good people out there that are more than willing to want to help others. And they don't find it
100%.
as an inconvenience. They find it, really joyful to be able to help other people.
It is like, just when you give a gift to someone, like it feels good to help someone, and we're depriving people that we care about that ability too. So yeah, it's definitely one of the best lessons I've learned, and one of the things that I try and share with people because it's unlocked so much for me in so many ways. I wish I learned it, 40 years ago.
Tremendously. Yes, definitely. Now, what specific beliefs rewired your recovery? Like, how did you like reframe and boost your leadership edge?
Well, I think part of it is what I've shared, like just the, like really focusing in on beliefs that serve me. So the brain doesn't know the difference between a real memory and a fake memory. It just doesn't, right? And so I started to be very careful about what I put in my brain, more careful than I ever had been. And I started being very, very like I've always been a word nerd. I've always thought that words have power and words are important, but I wasn't always using them in a way that was best serving me. And so I started really being careful with my language too. Like the difference between saying I want to be cancer free and I want to be 100% healthy. There's a big difference between those two statements, and most people wouldn't even realize the nuance. And so I started looking at the nuance of all of the words that I used and how I spoke to people and how I spoke to myself and what I journaled. And as I started to I used to take like huge pride in being a problem solver. Like I thought, oh, I am an amazing problem solver. Guess what? When you think you're an amazing problem solver, you attract more problems into your perspective. Like you're looking for problems to solve, right? There's a difference between being a problem solver and a solution magnet, right? There's a difference between that. There's a different energy and there's a different focus. And whether you feel like woo, like you're like pulling it in, or you feel like you're just like looking, like if I give you something to focus on, if I call something your attention to something, you're gonna focus on that thing. Versus if I, so like where are you directing your focus? And so like I've just been really, really careful about where I direct my focus. And as a result of that, my joy has gone up. My health has gotten better. My relationships have gotten deeper. My everything has gotten better. And I wasn't horrible at it before. I've just optimized it now. And so there are so many people that like they come home and it's like, how was your day? Horrible. Okay. Well, what if you like change the question, first of all, what three awesome things happened today?
There
Well,
you go.
now I'm focusing on looking for something. I just know, like, even with my kids, like, if I go to my son, I say, "How was school today?" He'll be like, "It was horrible." Instead, I say to him, "What three awesome things happened at school today?" Then he thinks and he pulls them out. It might just be lunch was good.
Yes.
Okay. But I still want him focusing on, like, looking for wins, looking
Yeah.
for wins, right? And so, like, even with my clients and our coaching, like, we start off every call focusing on their wins and their gratitude and things like that, because that's, we start looking for wins. We have more of them. When we start
100%.
looking for problems, guess what? We have more of them, right? And
Yes.
so for me, like, again, this whole journey, like, it took me to a whole different level of optimization and understanding that I just didn't even see before.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. It's so true. There's, you could just switch things around just a little bit, and
Just a
the
little
it
bit.
just a little bit. Oh, I love that. Now,
Yeah.
visionary founders love shiny objects. How do you, what do you, what helps you choose them, like one spotlight without dimming their creativity?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think there's clarity equals energy, right? And I think having too many things creates a lack of clarity and a lack of focus, right?
Yeah.
And so there's a power in that. So, like, my two favorite tools that I have personally that I use and I share with clients, one is the stop doing list.
Yeah.
So I try and take things off my plate that I do because I've always done, or I do because I thought I should, or, we all have
Yeah.
all those shoulds, like, that we, so I have my stop doing list and I have my parking lot. My
Yeah.
parking lot is my place where all my ideas go so that they have a place and I don't feel like they're dead, but they're
Yeah.
not now. They're not now.
They're
And so
not
I'm
now.
very discerning. Like, so what I think part of the journey that I've been on the last 18 months is one of discernment. Right? Like, how do you choose what you do and where you put your time and what you even allow to take up your time?
Yeah.
And I think that's an important thing, especially for entrepreneurs and business owners. Like, it's hard to say no. Like, it took me many years to learn the word no.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, you get it, right? It's hard to say no because it's like, oh, that seems like it'd be such a good thing, or whatever. And so to me, it's about clarity equals energy. It's about, like, what is the vision? If I can get a clear vision on where I'm going, and then the question is, does that align with the vision? Yes or no? And if it's a yes, then I'll consider it. If it's a no, then it goes in the parking lot,
Right.
right? And I don't let myself get distracted. One of my business co I was in the program called the Strategic Coach with Dan Sullivan for like 14 years, and man, changed my life. Amazing human being. And one of the things that he used to ask us all the time is, like, if you could only accomplish, like, three things in the next 90 days that would be the most beneficial to your business, what would those be? And so, you'd sit there, you think about it, you write them down, and he's like, "Okay, why would you do anything else then?" And it's like, huh, that's a good question. Right.
Yeah.
And you need to get more specific. Like, what's the number one thing that if this is all you put your time and attention on, everything would get better in your business? Then why would you do all the other things? They get in the way. And so I
Exactly.
do, like, spend a lot of time thinking about those things. And I have, like, kind of like a force field around me. And so if something wants to get through the force field, it has to answer those questions. Like, is it aligned with that thing or is it not? And if it's not, it bounces off. And it's taken
Right.
a while to build that muscle. But that muscle has really changed my life in a very positive way. And
Yeah.
I hate saying no to people, but I'd rather say no than do a bad job anyway, or have it screw up five other things, So I've gotten much better at that.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Now, can you like break down the framework of why simplifying to a single promise beats stacking all the other dozens of things? Like you talked about putting the book and keeping the things that won't interfere, But how is, is there, what happens if something comes across and it's just, oh, I really wanted to do this. Oh, this is like a one chance thing. Do you go for it? And, even though you might have a packed schedule, because sometimes, they say sometimes things just, opportunities only happen once in a
Once in a
lifetime.
lifetime? Yeah.
Yes. What do you
How
do with
many
that?
once in a lifetime things can have come across your desk, You know what I mean? Like, there's a lot of once in a lifetime things, right?
Yeah.
So it's like once in whose lifetime? If it aligns with your personal values, that's one thing. Just because someone else pops into my world and
Yeah.
interrupts me and says, "Hey, this is a once in a lifetime opportunity." That doesn't necessarily mean that it is a once in a lifetime opportunity, right?
Right.
Now, I'm guilty of doing that as a marketer, as a good marketer, right? Like, there are things that I offer that I believe are once in a lifetime opportunities, right? And they are. Like, I'm going to do this once. It's going to be magical. I am all about creating experiences, as you know. So when we create something, it's pretty awesome. And it is
Yeah.
once in a lifetime because we may not do it again, but it has to be for the right person at the right time. Right?
Yeah.
Like, once in a lifetime has to be in alignment with your avatar, your customer, right? And it has to be in
Yeah.
alignment with their wants and needs, and the timing all has to work out. And so I feel like as a business owner, like, we have to be re we're responsible to ourselves, to our team, to our, you know, to our mission and our vision. And so if you have one of those, like, there was a great story. So this is going back years, but Southwest Airlines, Herb Kelleher was the CEO for many, many years, right?
Yeah.
And like, he had his team, and they were all kind of coming up with new ideas to make the airline better. Now, their value proposition is, we are the number one low-cost airline, period, right? That was their vision. Like, everything was aligned with that. They were gonna have fun. They're like, you know, they make jokes, they do all sorts of crazy stuff. They're a fun, the lowest cost airline out there. And so one of
Right.
the executives in a meeting came up with this idea, and they were like, "You know what? Everyone else is offering meals on their planes. I think we should offer meals on the flights just to be competitive with the marketplace." And he said, "If we offer meals, will that help us be the lowest cost airline?" The answer is no. It's not. So it's a hard no. Like, you don't have, there's no question about that. Does it align with that mission? Does it align with that clarity? And so I feel like for any of us personally, or for our businesses or whatever, like, if you do, and even in like a home relationship, like, what are your values as a family? If it doesn't align with that and your vision and where you're going, it doesn't matter. You know, it just, you have to say no. Like, if you say yes to everything, you're saying no to the most important things.
Right.
And it's, you know, you gotta make certain things priorities, right? Like, my kids are like number one no matter what. Right. So if like something's going to take me away from my kids on an important thing, it's a no. It's a
Yeah.
no. I got 18 summers, right? Like, that's it. Like, and then it's over. Right. And you
Right.
don't get that back. So is that once in a lifetime, or is the once in a lifetime thing like, or the once in a, there's a lot of once in a lifetimes, right? And so if I miss that game that my son's playing football, and he is the one that scores the game-winning touchdown, that could have been a once in a lifetime that I missed because I went to that once in a lifetime.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's like, we just have to get our values and our vision and all that in alignment. And what I love most about what we do now at the Radical Company is, we really work with people who really want to be in alignment, right? That,
Yeah.
because alignment, it's more fulfilling, it's more fun, it's just, you achieve things faster. Like, time, you know, we used to always worry about, like, how long does something take? Like, when Jamie asked me, like, what makes you think it needs to take a long time to cure? Like, it's not that. It's that's a we lock things to a timeline. They don't
Yeah.
have to be. And that once in a lifetime starts to put us in that place again where it's like, oh, it has to be now, urgent, urgent, urgent. And you
Yeah.
know what? We sacrifice the important for the urgent, and then we're in a bad spot. So, you know, I just, my, I think my thoughts on this for anybody that's, you know, in those kind of situations is, get really clear on what's most important to you. And then if that fits and it aligns, great. And if not, then it's a no, you know?
Yeah. That's
That's
true.
pretty.
That's 100% true. Now, how has the Kinetic Customer Formula, how has this system helped brands and universities crank up loyalty and revenue year after year?
Yeah. So, our signature framework that we teach people when it comes to client experience and really results, you know, like I was talking about in the theater, like, you can really script the reaction that you want the audience to have, and then you can move them through that. That's what the Kinetic Customer Formula is. We broke it down into a systematic, repeatable framework that you can use, and it works in any situation, like, any size business, any, you know, whatever. And so when we worked with universities and such, it was for raising literally billions of dollars. Like, I've
Yeah.
helped Stanford University raise over $10 billion, Yale, Harvard, Duke, you name it. And we did that through events that engaged their clients that were the donors, alumni, parents, friends. We've done it with, Bank of America. I've done it with Disney. I've done it with Universal Studios. I've done it with Armani, Samsung, you name it. And it's a timeless framework. And the way it works is by understanding. So as a premise, you have to like look at whatever the experience is through the eyes of the customer, right? I was saying that earlier. You have to become the audience. And then once you really become the audience, you have to look at how you're feeling at every touch point along the journey that you want to take them on. And so our formula is essentially looking at the attitudes, what people are thinking and expecting, looking at the behaviors, what they're doing, what the friction points are, things that are slowing them down or stopping them altogether, what the momentum boosters are, the things that we can use to help accelerate growth, and then ultimately results. And so we have a mathematical equation that we use, and when we put all that together, we have a like we can have you go through the entire journey that your clients go on and understand how to like maneuver things in a way that gets them to that gasp when you want them to gasp, right? And so we reverse engineer everything. So it begins by writing what we call the dream customer script. And we literally write out, and this is a great exercise for anybody to do, write out like if your client just completed their whole experience with you, right? I want you to write out from the beginning their whole journey through their lens. So like I saw a video where I met, Stacy, and then I blah, 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 blah. Write it out from their perspective with as much detail as you can. And then that gives us a roadmap that we can use to kind of reverse engineer all the steps. And so we've done this with all these brands. We've done it with large businesses, small businesses, online businesses, offline businesses, doesn't matter. We've had massive success over the years. And in fact, I'm about to, in a few weeks, release a book on this. And the book is called Addicted to Strangers. And
Love it.
the reason it's called Addicted to Strangers is because as businesses, we spend all of our energy going after new business, new customers, strangers, if you will. And we do that at the expense of focusing on our clients. And so you take like the example of like Verizon, right? And like it's like, I'll give you better deals to try our service. I'll do anything to get you in, and then I'm going to charge you more, or I'm not going to give you the service once you're in, right? We reward strangers and we penalize customers. And that's an extreme example that everyone can relate to. Look at your cable company or anybody, right? It's a very extreme example, but we all do it in our businesses without realizing it. And so when we start taking some of the resource that we spend on advertising and marketing and all those things, and put some of that investment of time, money, what have you, into the back end, we can actually choreograph that journey so that we have raving fans. And instead of just raving fans, I like to think of them as recruiters, people that go out and bring people in. Like they grab them and say, "You gotta work with Stacy. She's amazing." Right. And so that's what our formula helps people do. And we can do it repeatably. And the stories that come out of your fulfillment of the execution side, they become the best possible marketing to use to start attracting new strangers. Right? Because those are real stories. What we see people doing now is they spend all this money, people don't get the results, and then people drop off, they don't pay, they ghost them, they don't get results. And that's you're losing money. Funnels, as we, out in the world, like we hear about funnels all the time, right? Funnels can convert, but experiences compound. Right. And we want you to get that compounding effect of all the work you do so that when you do spend $10, $20, $100, $200 to acquire a customer, they actually result in a much, much bigger result for you. It's a whole lot easier to, grow a customer, their spend once they've invested with you and you give them a good result than it is to get a stranger in the door. So
That's
that's what the whole book is about. And it's coming out in just a few weeks. And we're super excited about that as well. Yeah.
That sounds very exciting. Now, coaches and healers often undervalue their lived wisdom. How do you turn their story into a thriving enterprise without selling their soul?
Oh, yeah. Nobody should sell their soul. It's hard, right? So, in our in so In the October of last year, we founded the Radical Company. So the Radical Company now brings in what we were doing in the customer experience arena, but it's also working in a bigger, broader way with people who help people. So it could be healers, coaches, speakers, you name it, but people that really want to serve and have a message that they know, like lived experience, hard-won experience, like your story, for example, right? And all that you learned over the years and how you're able to transform your life and how you can share that with others. The challenge that a lot of people have in that arena is that they know a lot of stuff and they have a hard time packaging that message in a way. And so they feel like they're always like, when they explain something to someone, they get lost, they get confused. And like when they're confused about how they speak about their message, imagine when their customer who is just trying to, or their prospect, they don't understand it. And so what we try and do is empower people by helping them really get clear on their message. One of the frameworks we use to help them do that is what we call the prism process. So if you imagine a prism, right, when you shine a bright white light into it, all the colors of the rainbow come out the other side. And so what we do with those kind of people is we help them bring all their colors into the prism and focus it into a bright, shining, clear, focused message that the
I
world
like
can
it.
understand. And I think of it like, so most of those people come out and they talk about the tools that they use to help people. So like I do human design work, or I do Enneagram work, or I do Reiki, or I do acupuncture, or I do chiropractic, or I help people with gene keys, or I help people with whatever their thing is, sound healing, you name it, right? And so they talk about all the tools. But that would be like going to a mechanic and they say, well, I use a screwdriver and I use a wrench and I use pliers and I use a tire iron. And no, you don't talk about your tools. We have to talk about what we're going to achieve and how we're going to help you and the journey. And so what we help them do is take all their gifts and package them into a unique magic method is what we call it. And so we help them package it, we help them name it, claim it, and then go out there and how to put it out there in the world. And when they do that, there's such a sense of relief because when they talk about what they're doing, they understand it better themselves. Like they understand how to get people results, but they don't understand how to market and how to talk about it. And so all of a sudden their confidence increases exponentially very quickly. And there's a huge identity shift in who they become. And now they're able to get results with their people faster. And then we help them understand how to stop going in a one-on-one approach and how to do like one to many. So like work with groups of people and instead of just literally trading like an hour for, a dollar kind of thing. So it allows them to start helping more people, having more freedom and just feeling more confident and certain about the work they do because they understand how to talk about it.
I love that. Now, where do visionary businesses bleed focus? Like, what quick fixes plug those holes?
I mean, we've been talking about this for a little while, I think. Really, one of the problems with some of the visionary entrepreneurs that I work with, and especially in the radical business, right? It's like they have ideas constantly. They have like idea after idea after idea. And that's true of most creative people. Like I get it. Like I was a lighting designer by trade. Like I'm a creative thinker. But the challenge is like if all we're doing is creating and we're not executing, then we're not going to take action. And we believe in radical action at the Radical Company, right? Action trumps ideas all day long, right? And so if we want to help people, and this goes back to like setting a clear vision and a clear intention, and then like putting together a plan. Like what we're selling in business is a system, right? And so in the Radical Company, we help entrepreneurs, spiritual advisors, whoever they are, all these people, we help them create what we call a radical money machine. It's the business, it's the engine that's going to drive their growth and drive their impact, right? Because we believe impact first, income comes with impact. And so when we teach them how to do this, so they need the systems. So we help them design the infrastructure that's going to support them so that then they can go out and bring in the next creative idea and the next creative idea. But we end up focusing it in the beginning so that they have a clear direction. Once they get the clarity, I've said this a few times, clarity equals energy, clarity equals momentum. And so once they have a clear roadmap, then they're able to do that. And so we think of ourselves as kind of like the mentor with the map. We have the map of how to do that, and we can mentor them and help them take that message out to the world in the way that they most want to do it.
Right. I like that. Now, a listener is swirling right now. So, what's the very first micro action you'd like to prescribe?
Yeah, so clarity is the winner. Swirl is the devil, right? We need to stop the swirl. We need to stop the swirl. So, I think the most important thing when we're feeling swirl is and how we want to get out of the swirl and into clarity is really setting that vision. And the vision has to come from within. Like if you want to create a sustainable business, you have to be committed to it and show up regardless of the emotion. There's going to be hard days. There's going to be days where you don't want to do some of the things, but
Yeah.
your why, your mission is
Yeah.
behind mission of your business. So I've talked a lot about vision, right? That's like where you're going, whatever, but the why, the heart of it has to be there. And so like I think for most entrepreneurs, we have an idea and we think it sounds like a good idea and we've got a lot of thoughts about it. We start putting all that down there and then we get into the doing of it and it's like overwhelming and it's not quite right and we're not committed to it, right? And so like we have to commit to something. And so in order to commit to it, it has to be in alignment with us and it has to come out of the heart, honestly. And so I think for most of us, like we have to go 7 layers deep on why. So like, why do you want to do this? And then answer that question and then ask again, why do I want to do that? Why? Go deep on the why and decide if that's really the why for you. And then does that why align with the who? Right? Because like we can't help everybody. And like if you market to everybody, you market to nobody. Right. And so, like, if I can, so one of the things I help our clients do, especially in the beginning, because you can always expand, but I help people get as narrow with their focus as they can. Because if I'm talking to my friend Stacy and I understand Stacy and I know what Stacy's world is and whatever, if she's my avatar, she's my dream customer, then I can be in my marketing messages, I'm speaking to her and she's feeling understood. She's feeling heard. She's like, holy crap, dude. Like, you're saying the things the way I'm thinking them. You say it better than I could. And when I do that, I create connection. And so it goes back. Like, if I can get clear on my why and then I can get clear on my who, like, I get excited enough that that's where I want to focus. Like, I'm good with that for a bit. And then we can expand the who's to the next circle and the next circle and the next circle because the message gets more and more, clarified over time. But it's hard in the beginning. If you try and talk to everybody, your message is muddy. And I want sharp, crisp messaging with my clients because then they know what they're talking about. They know who they're talking to and they can help those people. And so I think for all of the people that are caught in the swirl, go deep on your why and then get clear on your who. Put how on the back burner. How is actually what creates the swirl? How is what creates the swirl? Put how on the back burner, focus on why, who, and maybe even what, but don't worry about how. How it will show up for you. Once you have that clarity, the steps start to sh reveal themselves as you go down that journey. And again, it's one of those things that we help people do, but you need to like write it down someplace and like remind yourself on a daily basis, like, this is my mission. This is my mission. This is my mission. And like, if you really are connected to it that way, you're proud to do that every day. You're not feeling like it's incongruent. You're feeling like you're getting more and more in alignment with that every day of your life. That's a powerful thing. It's a powerful thing.
It is a powerful thing. Now, what one question should every entrepreneur ask to know their business truly fits their life?
Oh my gosh. That's a great question. What one question should every entrepreneur ask so they know their business truly fits their life? I mean, nobody's ever asked me a question quite like that before. I love it. I feel like the answer to that question is, does work feel like play? Like when I'm in it, like, am I loving it? Is it fun? Am I enjoying it? Is my team engaged in that? Like, Our team at the Radical Company like loves what they do. Like they cheer us on. Like if you saw all the messaging like behind the scenes and the chat and all that, you know, in Slack and all those kinds of things, like they're genuinely they're cheering on our clients. They're like they get it. They know that we're helping make the world a better place in our way, and they love being part of that. And it does. It feels like play every day, and it feels like we get to do this, not we have to do this. You know what I
Yeah.
mean? And so like that's the culture of our company. That's the culture we bring to our clients. And I think I would say that we really defend it a lot. Like we defend that culture. Because if it's not fun, then why are you doing it? You know? And we don't want, like, to us, play is work, you know? And we, you know, so I would say like if you're feeling like it's not that, then
Yeah.
something's wrong. Then something's wrong.
100%. That's a great answer. I like that answer. And
Well, good. You almost stumped me. I wasn't sure, but that's what I felt. That's what came up.
can you tell everybody about your services and where they can contact you also?
Yeah, sure. Thank you for that question. So, for the Radical Company, you know, we really help entrepreneurs figure out how to package themselves better, how to market themselves better. We have a done with you program called Radical Magic and Radical One, that helps people stop the swirl, get the clarity, and start to monetize their magic and create impact and income. So we do that. We have a live event called Made for More Live at www.madeformorelive.com, which you can always check it out and come, and you'll get to work with us for 3 days and kind of do this like deep dive and experience that. And my book is coming out too. Like I said, Addicted to Strangers. And if you'd like, I'll give you a link, and everyone in your audience can have a free copy of the ebook if they'd like. That's at strangers.radicalinc.com. And it's a waiting list right now because the book isn't out yet. It's going to be out in a few weeks. So depending on when this airs, it might be out. But yeah, strangers.radicalinc.com, and jump on there and grab a copy. And I just love to hear what you think about it. And if you start using any of the techniques and the strategies, it would mean a lot to me if you'd email in. You'll get all the information when you sign up. Email in and just tell us like how you're using it. How is it helping you? It helps us. Help more people. It helps us refine the strategies and stuff. And we have a whole bunch of goodies too when you download the ebook and you get it, where you can like some of the techniques and the tools and the thinking tools and the worksheets and all that. So you'll get a whole bunch of goodies as well. So yeah, I would love for people to come check it out.
I love that. Now, in today's conversation, if you wanted to pull out a few things that you wanted to emphasize on, what are some important factors that you'd like people to walk away with today's conversation?
Yeah, so like on the mindset side, like I think I want people to really step into this idea that their beliefs drive everything. And you know, you may have heard this before, you may have like been like, yeah, I get it, but like go a little deeper with it, like I did, right? Like really, what are the words you're using? And can you tweak those words just a little bit? Because like what the seeds we plant grow. And are we planting the seeds that are going to be most serving us? And even if you're not sure if the belief is going to be true, the mind doesn't know the difference between a real memory and a fake memory. So if the belief is going to serve you and the greater good of your hopes, your dreams, your health, your wealth, whatever that is, it doesn't hurt to believe that. I believe that I'm going to be on this planet for a really long time and I am 100% healthy. And even if I'm wrong, it makes me get through every single day with a smile on my face and show up for my family, my kids, my clients, my employees, my team, everybody in a better way. So there's no downside. There's just no downside. So like that to me, like if you take anything away from this whole thing, like that would be my number one for you to take away. Number two, clarity equals energy, right? Stop the chaos, simplify a little bit, and focus. And
Yes.
if you're an entrepreneur, speaker, coach, or healer, or in that realm, and you'd like to talk to us about that, we'd love for you to join us at the Radical Company. We're really trying to create a movement of people who help people and help you monetize and create impact and income.
I love it. I love it. This has been amazing, Jason. Thank you so much
Thank
for coming on the
you.
show. I really appreciate everything that you've shared today. I appreciate you opening up and sharing your story today and just giving hopes to others and really showing how to, really look at it and say, not putting yourself into this situation where it's over, that mentality that many people put themselves into when they get ill. And, but saying, hey, I'm going to overcome this. I'm going to be healthy, and
You
the
got it.
mind is a strong organ, and we need to utilize it for, and really think things differently. And like you said, take a break and rephrase the way you say things, and it means a lot. And thank you for all your business advice today, and how, all the different things that you showed, tools and different techniques and ways of doing things. I really appreciate you coming on the show and just giving all your wisdom and knowledge today. And I just want to say thank you. I really appreciate you, and I hope you'll be back.
I appreciate you too as well. Thank you so much for having me. And yeah, love to come back. Let's do it.
Yeah, definitely. Well, you have a great day.
You too.